flew in from Dallas-Fort Worth just over 4 years ago to become the Chief Executive Officer at Tampa International Airport. This is a Florida Matters Newsmaker Special, Joe Lupano.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at BayCareEvents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WSF Public Media, I'm Kirsten Cooper. The annual Airport Service Quality Awards, announced back in February, named Tampa International number 2 in North America in customer satisfaction and number 5 worldwide. Joe Lupano, welcome. That's a pretty nice place to be.
Yeah, thank you, Carson. Thank you for having me on the show.
Those rankings are based on random passenger surveys with an eye on things like ambience and cleanliness and navigation getting around the airport. Tampa International gets very high remarks.
Yes, Tampa has been a leader in customer satisfaction for many, many years, long before I arrived on the scene. We continue to focus on the legacy that we've been given. It's a great airport with great design, great architecture. And we believe in great customer service, and that means cleanliness and ambiance, and the air conditioning has to be right, and everything has to be right.
By the way, Indianapolis was number 1. What are they doing right that we're not doing?
They're younger than us. The Indianapolis airport's only about 7 years old, and we're 43 years old. So we all act as custodians, every one of them, our vice presidents, all of our staff. If we see something on the floor, we pick it up.
By the way, is it TIA or TPA? I've heard both in recent years, and I'm trying to get a handle on that.
Yeah, it goes by both, but the official FAA designation is TPA.
Yeah.
So the code is KTPA for aviators, but the Tampa International Airport, people shorten that to TIA. So we basically go by both.
By both, okay. I want to talk more about some of the new things on the way at Tampa International, like the parking, the people movers, and the dining options a little later in the program. But first, you landed the job in Tampa because the airport board was really impressed with your ability to attract new airlines at Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yes, that is correct, and a special focus was really placed on international, and I remember during my interview process, they asked if I thought we could get international flights, and I said, well, of course we can. We're 5 million people, and they said, well, Tampa doesn't have 5 million people, and I said, Tampa Airport is an airport for an entire region that has 5 million people. And sure enough, we've been quite successful.
Now, when you arrived, the only international flights coming in and out of Tampa were, besides Canada, London's Gatwick, and then San Juan, Puerto Rico, Grand Cayman.
That's correct.
Was pretty much it, right?
That was
so,
it.
So how many are locked in now?
Well, we've taken British Airways to London has gone from 5 times a week to daily service. We've added 3 times a week service to Zurich, Switzerland. We've added 5 times a week service to Panama City, Panama. We've added flights to Cuba, and now in September we're going to add 4 times a week service on Lufthansa to Frankfurt, Germany.
Now, that's a big one, too, and you used to work for Lufthansa.
I did used to work.
Did that have any influence in their decision?
Well, it really did not, but we had some good times talking about the old days, and we all knew the same people, so they're a great company.
Now, it is business, and these flights have to sell or the carriers are going to pull out. How confident are you that the demand is here for these flights in Tampa?
Yeah, Carson, that's a very good question. We use a lot of data, and it's sort of like Moneyball. We don't go after a market unless we know that there's demand for that market. The worst thing that could happen to us is to have an airline pull out after they start service. So the hardest thing to do is to make an airline successful. The second hardest thing to do is to get them in the market.
Seems like most folks, now this is anecdotal on my part, most folks in this area still think of Orlando when it comes to international flights. They've scheduled nonstop flights to 50 destinations throughout the year. Some of them are seasonal. Is Orlando your main competitor?
Yeah, it is. And over the years, I would say that Tampa should have been trying harder to get more international flights and just did not. And Orlando was the beneficiary of that. We're now very, very competitive. We're out marketing to every airline that could serve the market. And in fact, Disney is only 1 hour away from us. So Edelweiss, as an example, used to fly to Orlando. They switched over to Tampa. They took their flight and brought it to Tampa instead.
Well, how do you make that argument? How do you sell an airline on Tampa over what is arguably the biggest tourist destination in the nation.
Yeah, it's sort of a balance. What we can sell is that you're an hour away from Disney, and you're an hour away from Sarasota and Anna Maria and Clearwater and the beaches. So you can get both when you fly into Tampa. You can have a week on the beach and you can drive to see Disney, whatever you want to do. It's a more central location.
Now, closer to home, St. Pete Clearwater International Airport is now reporting a third month of record-breaking passenger traffic this summer. In fact, July was their highest passenger traffic ever in its history. Domestic traffic up 31%, thanks mainly to Allegiant. International traffic up 22%. So now St. Pete is, now, of course, is nowhere near the size of Tampa International, but do you consider their presence a threat?
No, I do not. I mean, I think they serve a very niche market. I mean, Allegiant is a very specialized carrier. They don't serve many markets daily. They usually go two or three times a week. They serve secondary markets. And the reality is, if our hotels are full and we're creating jobs, then that's our real purpose. That's the reason we exist. So we'll be the big airport, and they can be the small airport, as long as the region benefits with more jobs.
Talking about airlines pulling out, St. Pete Clearwater almost got Silver Airways, which would have been a huge get for them, but Silver pulled out this past spring. Now, that's true of every airport. There's no guarantee an airline will come when it says it will come, right, or stay when you get them.
Yeah. It's like a movable feast. I mean, aircraft can be moved in one day. If they decide they don't like the market, the airplane could the next day go to Chicago instead of to Tampa. So you have to really do your homework. You have to really be data-focused to understand which markets you can really support. We're not marketing to South African Airways because we're not going to get a flight to Johannesburg, probably ever. But we are marketing to France and to Germany and to Brazil and to Panama. Those are the markets that we can sustain.
Has TIA or TPA almost landed a huge carrier and then lost it at the last minute?
That fortunately has not happened yet at Tampa. It's happened to me at DFW, especially right after 9/11. We had Air France in the market, and Air France pulled out after 9/11. Mm-hmm. So generally speaking, it takes something pretty spectacular to happen to make people change, because these are big assets. I mean, these are $200 million airplanes that they put into a market. They don't do that lightly. They have to be convinced of the viability of that market.
Now, regular flights between Tampa and Havana, Cuba began back in 2011. Much of the red tape, though, has gone away in recent months. Now, you can still only travel to Cuba if you meet one of 12 approved reasons for travel. Will it get easier to book a flight to Cuba from Tampa in the coming months?
Yeah, it already has. I mean, since the president's announcement in December, we've seen a marked increase in the number of passengers. It's gotten easier to go to Cuba. You still have to fit into those 12 categories, as you correctly point out. But you don't have to apply for a license. You can go on a general license. And if they ask you, you know, afterwards, did you fit into those licenses, then you have to justify it.
Mm-hmm. How committed is the airport board to growing international flights? Do you and the board ever clash on priorities?
No, not yet. We seem to be in line. We all believe in international growth. We believe in domestic growth. We want to create jobs, and we believe in our capital project that I think we'll get to that later. But mm-hmm. They're very committed to the $950 million that's really driving the job market here in the Tampa Bay region.
There's a story not long ago that talked about parking prices, and they're going to point out that Tampa International is raising its parking prices. I believe you were quick to point out that they're still among the lowest in the nation.
That is correct. What we do is we benchmark ourselves vis-a-vis other airports around the country, especially other airports in Florida. Even after we did the rate increase, which we had to do because we're investing $50 or $60 million over the next 10 years in the parking structures themselves and in a new automated system, so the users should have to pay for that. And even with the increase we put in, we're still on the low end of our competitive set.
I love the presence of the Bay Area when you're in the airport and when you arrive and you're going down to pick up your bags, the big displays there, which, by the way, thank you for updating those. It now shows me where my where my carousel is for my baggage. It used to kind of have a delay on that. It looks like that was fixed recently.
My pleasure.
But the presence of that Tampa flavor, Cigar City Brewery, the Columbia Restaurant, that's all part of the airport experience here.
Yeah, I think it's important for us. In fact, when I first got here, we had no local concepts out in the terminals at all. And then we put in Cigar City Brewery. We put in Mise en Place. We put in the Green Iguana. So we've started down that roadway now with our new concessions program, which we're in the process of developing right now, implementing. We're going to have 40% of the concepts are going to be locally based. So there's two great benefits to that. One is people get to understand what Tampa's about. Once they get to the airport, they can realize all the things we have. The other is the money that gets made stays in Tampa. Those businesses are Tampa-based businesses, and the money stays in our community.
What sort of feedback do you get from passengers? And you can share the negative as well as the positive as far as the airport experience.
The only negatives I've heard is that we play the music too loud. And so I'm not sure whether that's the hearing aid was turned on too loud or maybe we are playing it too loud. Sometimes we do have aberrations between terminals. But what we always hear is that people like the convenience and the cleanliness. Those are the two top positive comments we always get. And I used to fly through Tampa before I got this job, and I always commented on how clean the buildings were.
This really caught my attention back in June. An undercover test conducted by Homeland Security found the TSA screeners had failed to find weapons 95% of the time, at least in one case. One of the undercover agents even set off a metal detector, and screeners failed to find anything. It turned out there was a fake bomb taped to his back. Homeland Security, to say the least, was not amused. TSA Acting Director Melvin Caraway was reassigned, and they called for immediate reforms. That was back in June. Where are the reforms?
Well, they've put some additional protocols into place. That's a federal agency, as you know. We don't really have any control over them. I think as far as TSA goes, I mean, I think that the Tampa screeners are probably the friendliest of all the screeners in the country. They do a very, very professional job. We track our customer ratings of security, and we get pretty good scores on it. And we share those scores with our TSA colleagues. So we don't have any control over them, but we try to influence their customer service.
The public backlash against these screeners has inspired some airports, I believe one in Orlando area, fired the TSA and hired their own private screeners. Is private the way to go?
I'm not sure if that's the way to go. They're still controlled by the TSA management. And so I think if you have a good director and you have a friendly staff, you have the best of both worlds. And I think that's the way it is at Tampa.
The FAA just posted results of the study that suggests the nation's air traffic controllers have work schedules that often result in chronic fatigue. Evidently, this study was done back in 2011 and was kept hidden until the AP finally got hold of a draft copy. The bottom line of the study, 2 in 10 controllers had committed egregious errors within a year. 1/3 said fatigue was an extreme safety risk, and the report goes on. Can you tell me with absolute certainty that those air traffic controllers in your control tower in Tampa are healthy and alert?
Well, I had a meeting with our new manager of the control tower, and we have a really good crew. I will tell you that the controllers have to be alert and ready at all times. So if they're fatigued and working too many hours, I think that has to change right away.
Coming up,
we have to be very, very judicious in how we grow and how we use that land because, you know, in Dallas, you could make a mistake and hide it on 18,000 acres, but here you have to be right on the money.
We're speaking with Joe Lupano, CEO of Tampa International Airport, on this Florida Matters Newsmaker special. I'm Kirsten Cooper. This is Florida Matters. On Tuesday, September 1st, Florida Matters will tape a town hall discussion on location in Sarasota. The topic will be the rising tide of HIV infection in Florida, and we would love for you to attend. For details, visit WUSFnews.org and click on the Florida Matters link. Again, you are invited to the taping of a town hall meeting on HIV in Florida Tuesday, September 1st at the University of South Florida, Sarasota Manatee. Visit WUSFnews.org for details. And now back with our newsmaker, Joe Lupano was named the Chief Executive Officer at Tampa International Airport in January 2011. It is one of the highest-ranking airports in the nation and the world, for that matter, in customer satisfaction. Joe, while your airport gets high remarks, the same cannot be said for some of the airlines that come and go at Tampa International Airport. Spirit Airlines did this survey last fall, found the top things people hate about the airlines. They can't stand the seats. They're getting smaller. They don't go back far enough. They hate ticket prices, of course. They even hate the prices more than they hate lost baggage. And Spirit, ironically enough, found out that it was the most hated airline because of all those fees that it imposes, carry-on bags, printing a boarding pass, and the like. What about that?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. Actually, I mean, I think the customers really don't know what the flight's going to cost until they actually take it, and then if they have to change their ticket for whatever reason, some of the fees are very, very expensive, $200 if you have to change your flight. I think that this should be transparent. I think that customers should know exactly what it's going to cost as they advertise that fare. So the fare plus a bag plus a boarding pass plus a seatbelt, how much is this going to cost me? I think that's the right way to go.
Now, Spirit's, their answer to all this was, well, once passengers stop thinking of all these fees as fees and consider them options that can lead to them saving money, you know, if they forego one or two things, then they'll like us a lot more.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, well, really? Are you kidding?
That's one way of putting it.
It kind of sounds like some of these airlines just have no clue when it comes to the public.
Yeah, well, the unfortunate thing is they've unbundled a lot of services that used to be provided with the ticket. And these unbundled services are not taxed. So they pay no tax on the baggage fees. So in the past, their ticket price would include the baggage fees, and they were taxed on that, and that tax would be used to help fund airport improvements. They now don't pay tax on those fees, and we don't have enough money to keep our airports modern. If you've been to some airports around the country, I think you'll know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We are fortunate. We've stayed ahead of the curve, but there are a lot of places that are in a very big state of disrepair.
Just recently, Delta was fined $2.7 million for not responding in a timely manner to a lawsuit over baggage fees. The suit was filed back in 2009. It's a class action suit now, which claims Delta and AirTran, which I believe was absorbed into
Southwest.
Mm-hmm. Of conspiring to impose baggage fees back in 2008. Evidently, AirTran waited to see if Delta was going to do it. That was their main competitor at the time. So Delta did, and then AirTran quickly did as well. Don't the airlines make enough from passengers? Are the baggage fees over the top?
Well, I think what we have right now is, quite honestly, we have only four major carriers in the country. And so the competitive landscape is completely changed. And so they're making money on the regular tickets, plus the price of fuel is way down. And these ancillary fees go into the billions. I mean, these are billions of dollars that people are paying, and that's going straight to the bottom line of those airlines.
Our expectations have dropped a little bit when we fly. I don't expect to be fed on Southwest any longer, maybe a bag of peanuts or something like that. Are the airlines conspiring, though, in some ways? Some people have charged them of colluding.
Yeah, I think there's an investigation undergoing right now by Department of Justice and on that very matter. And I think as you get less competition in the marketplace, you have more opportunity for collusion.
Yeah, the U.S. Justice Department has been investigating whether airlines are colluding on things like vacant seats. I believe, is that the one you're talking about? Senator Richard Blumenthal said back in July that consumers are paying sky-high fares and are trapped in an uncompetitive market with a history of collusive behavior. And I think he's talking about the airlines being in cahoots over vacant seats, sending signals to one another about their expansion plans and flying in too many planes so they keep the planes full.
It's about what they call capacity discipline. And the airlines, there were a number of airlines at a conference, and the Justice Department wants to see if they had signaled to each other That they should restrain capacity growth so that they can keep fares high. So I think that's what the gist of the investigation is.
That's the investigation. What is your take on that?
Well, my take is, it's unfortunate that we have lost customer service in the airline business. There's very, very low levels of customer service at this point. I think that some airlines are now beginning to focus more on attracting their business because they have better customer service. I think it'll probably come back to a better level. It'll never be what it used to be. But you have to admit there's only four airlines really in the country. So, there's not a whole lot of new competition being injected.
Did deregulation go too far?
Well, it took like 30 years. When they deregulated the airlines, there were probably 40 different airlines in the country. Now there's four.
Yeah.
And now they're finally making money. And it's important that they make money. I mean, you know, aviation in this country is vital to our economy. So the airlines shouldn't be profitless. So they should be profitable, but I think there has to be some modicum of fairness.
What does Tampa International do in terms of customer service that the airlines aren't doing? How do you make travelers feel pretty good about the overall flying experience once they get off the plane or about to get on it?
Well, what we do, and I'm sure the airlines do too, but we pay very close attention to our survey results. And you know, we have free Wi-Fi at the airport, but before you get to use the free Wi-Fi, we ask you two or three questions. And every day we're tracking customer satisfaction. We're tracking restroom condition, gate hold area condition. And if we see problems, even by airside, we begin to address them immediately. So we're very interested in taking the input of our customers and making that experience better.
Joe Lupano, what is the master plan project?
Yeah, the master plan projects are intended to give us a 20-year window of growth. And right now, phase one is being implemented. It's a $953 million project. It'll create 9,000 jobs. We're building a 2 million square foot rental car center. We're expanding our main terminal by 50,000 square feet. And we're going to connect it all together with a 1.4-mile automated people mover system. So the people mover train will leave right from the main terminal, and you'll go down to the economy garage, and you'll have the first stop will be economy garage, and then you go on to the rental car center where we'll have a state-of-the-art, probably the best rental car experience of any airport in the world. And that'll all be completed by October of 2017.
The people mover will be just continuous trains in a way, or will it be?
Yeah, it's going to be a 1.4-mile train, mm-hmm. and it allows us to take 2.3 million car trips off our roadways. So instead of widening our roadways, we're taking the cars off the roadways by moving the rental car operation to the south.
Mm-hmm.
This people mover system will run every 2 or 3 minutes and will stop at the economy parking garage. So it's going to be a great customer experience.
And new restaurants on the way for
every food, beverage, and retail outlet is being redone. And we now have local concepts like Ducky's coming out. We have a P.F. Chang's. It's going to be at the main terminal. We have Cigar City Brewery. We have Mise en Place. So there's going to be a lot of options, a lot of really good stuff for our customers.
I imagine you're probably ready for some more complaints here in the coming months. The airport is about to undergo a major renovation. The main terminal is expanding. I think some of the airsides A and C, are changing.
Mm-hmm.
New parking facility, people mover. So this starts in December?
Yeah, we're going to see some major changes. We've already, on airsides A and C, we're down to one shuttle train operating instead of two. We're tracking our customer satisfaction on a daily basis, and we've seen people have noticed changes due to construction, and especially since we rerouted the roadway on the way in. But that hasn't affected customer satisfaction. Now, Carson, coming up here, we're going to start putting up a lot of barriers, taking escalators out of service. We're going to replace all of our escalators. They're 43-year-old escalators. You know that's a big job. Some of these escalators are three-story escalators. So mm-hmm. we're going to put barricades up around the escalators, and it's going to become a little bit disruptive. But we're going to ask all of your listeners and all of our proud citizens of Tampa Bay to please be patient with us.
I didn't notice it too much, but now that you mentioned the trains, I fly Southwest a number of – that's Airside C, I believe, right?
Correct.
And
yep.
I didn't notice one of the trains wasn't running.
Well, you know, it's really weird. Our customer satisfaction, when we went down to one train instead of two, we saw our customer satisfaction in Airside C actually went up. So we just couldn't figure that one out.
Keep on working on it. Close another train.
Yeah.
Are you recommending passengers, though, build in a little more time when it comes to their travel?
Yeah, I think that would probably be smart. And over the next, I'd say the next 18 to 20 months, you're going to see a lot of disruption. So, but after it's done, it's going to be really awesome.
So how bad will it be before it gets good?
It'll get...
What will be the peak? will it be at its worst?
The peak of pain will occur probably within the next 12 months, and after that, it'll get better. Mm-hmm. So we're really into the middle of this thing right now. We're into the teeth of this project, and there's going to be a lot of work going on in a lot of different places. But I'd say for the next 12 months, just be patient with us.
You had to make sure that there was nothing on down the road big happening in the Bay Area that you didn't want to get in the way of, like a Super Bowl or a
RNC.
Like that. Now, one reason I imagine is to make the airport a better experience for passengers, and maybe the other is to attract more airlines.
Yeah, we want to do both. I mean, we're building for growth. So what we're doing here is basically expanding our terminal by 50,000 square feet, and that'll allow us to stay within that same terminal for the next 20 years. Instead of going and building another terminal to the north, we'll stay right in our main terminal just the way it is. And if we need to in the future, we can build another airside for international flights. That would be in the airside D, which is currently just a tarmac area. We would be able to build a new international airside in that location.
Is there going to be a fifth airside, added airside E? Or?
No, we have four right now. We would add a fifth, which would be airside D, if we get enough international demand. Mm-hmm. At the present time, we don't see a need for it, but we're going to be ready if we need to do it.
Tampa International used to be Drew Field way back in the, I believe, the 1940s. And I guess at that point, it was way on the outskirts of town. But now, you know, you're right in the heart of things. How much room do you have? How much land is there left for growth, future runways, for instance?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I was at DFW, we had seven runways and 18,000 acres of land. Here we have three runways, really two functional runways, and only 3,500-some-odd acres of land. So we have to be very, very judicious in how we grow and how we use that land because you know, in Dallas, you could make a mistake and hide it on 18,000 acres, but here you have to be right on the money.
Are runway lengths an issue at Tampa? Are there some airlines that will not fly in or out of Tampa because of that?
No, we can handle, we have a 2-mile-long runway that can handle A380, 747. All operations can be handled at the airport. We have no runway restrictions whatsoever.
Could have landed a shuttle there, sounds like.
I don't know about the shuttle.
Joe Lupano, the CEO of Tampa International Airport, our newsmaker. Thank you so much for joining us here on Florida Matters.
My pleasure. Thank you, Carson.
A reminder, on Tuesday, September 1st, Florida Matters will tape a town hall discussion on location in Sarasota. The topic will be the rising tide of HIV infection in Florida, and we would love for you to attend. For details, visit WUSFnews.org and click on the Florida Matters link. Our producer is Lottie Watts, engineer Craig George. Florida Matters is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.